It was late Christmas Eve with the sun going down, and its last feeble rays lit the cold frozen ground, while a tired old man stood alone by the street, with his back to the wind, rags wrapped round his feet. His tattered old coat he pulled to him tight, but the cloth was too thin to keep out winter's bite. His hands were thrust deep, and his collar turned up, and I couldn't suppose when last he had supped. Where did he come from, and where would he go? Was it bad luck or bad deed that brought him so low? He stood there so still with no hope and no friend, no place to go and no room at the inn. I won't get involved. We don't know who he is. I made my excuses, then my eyes met his. I thought of the warmth and the food in our home, and I just couldn't leave him out there all alone. So I put on my coat and went out to the street and invited him in to share our Christmas feast. He looked so delighted, I had to explain that our table was humble, our food rather plain. But he seemed not to notice our well-worn decor as he shook off the snow and stepped through the door. He asked our forgiveness for his poor attire and stretched out his gnarled old hands towards the fire. When dinner was ready, we filled his plate high with vegetables, bread, meat, potatoes, and pie. And he ate and he ate, and I felt quite ashamed that I take this for granted and often complain. Then came the moment for presents and fun, but we soon realized that our guest would have none unless we each gave him a gift from our pile, and I hoped we could do it with love and a smile. My wife was the first to select one of hers, then I followed suit, then the boys and the girls, and finally the baby, who barely could stand, placed her brand new dolly in his wrinkled hand. From mittens to kittens, a ball and new socks, a shiny new train, and a big mantel clock. Candy and ribbons, a warm woolly shawl, why, we just couldn't stop till we'd given it all. I couldn't believe how fulfilling it felt to give away something I wanted myself. And I looked at my loved ones and saw in their eyes a reflection of wonder and happy surprise. And we laughed and we sang and completely agreed that Christmas this year was the best it could be. We turned then to thank him for making our day so special and blessed in so many ways, but as we were watching, his rags disappeared, and in their place a red suit and a long snowy beard. As we stood there in wonder, he gave us a wink, and we knew in our hearts what we'd scarce dared to think, that the spirit of Christmas was our special guest, and that I and my family had just passed a test. He finally spoke, and he told us a tale of how each Christmas Eve he must, without fail, find an unselfish family to welcome him in, and not till that happens can Christmas begin. I thought of the way I had almost ignored him and grudged a few gifts, though I well could afford them, and felt very troubled, as he too must be, to know Christmas depends upon someone like me. Then he rose to his feet and he nodded his head, and we knew it was time we should all be in bed to awaken on Christmas to find peace and joy and the touch of his magic in each special toy. And now, a year later, as the season draws nigh, with too little time and too much to buy, I wonder if this time he'll be turned away, or if we'll wake once more to a new Christmas day.